So that song is just one verse out of 1 Peter chapter 5, but I'd like to, in context of today's message, read a few other verses that are around it, because I think they apply to today. It says, "Likewise, you younger people." Now, not many of us here are younger, but some. "Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed in humility." Now, there's another place, of course, where we know it in the Word of God where it says, "Submit yourselves to one another in what?" In love. The fear of the Lord. So, "and be clothed in humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, isn't that wonderful? Our brother Peter wrote that. He wasn't born that way naturally, was he? We have a record of him more than the rest, probably, of the apostles, of some of the things he said that came out of his mouth, which were not along the line of what he's written here in 1 Peter. Now today there's an unusual message. As we go through the Word of God, here's the advantage of going through the whole Word of God, is that you come upon unusual subjects that you wouldn't expect that you'd come upon, that have application in everyday life in the church, in our church life. And this is one of the ones right here in Titus, which is quite unusual. This would be a first for me to preach on something like this, this subject. But let's get into it, and starting in the Titus here, chapter 1, beginning at verse 5 through 9 is where we're going to start today. "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things which are lacking. Appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word that he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those that contradict." Lord, we thank you that this is your word. We're coming to it with a little bit of fear and intrepidation, but Lord, we know you help us. That's a wonderful thing, and we need your help. We call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for help, and Lord, we ask for help in speaking, help in hearing, help in responding to your word, the correcting nature of your word in many ways, Lord. We need it. We all need it. So, Lord, we commit it to you in Jesus' name. I didn't notice it before. This is getting a little rickety. It's bouncing. Nothing's under it, is there? No. Okay. So I'm going to title this right off the bat, and we'll see if we can get around to the title as we go through the Word of God. But the title is Love and Order in this section of Titus. Now, I pray today as we go through this, since this is an unusual message, that everyone here finds hope in this message. Because the message is for everyone, not just specific classes of people that we're going to speak to about, but it's to every believer. And we have said, I've said before, and it's bore out in the pages of the book, that our life is hidden in Christ. Our life is hidden within the pages of this book as Christians. And our life is hidden together in the house of God. Those three things, that's the mystery. I don't know how to explain it except that it's repeated over and over again as we go through the Bible. And Titus was given the task of appointing elders. But, and it is a big but, I believe that Paul was alluding to a problem in the church that still exists today. And now I hope that I'll be able to get to this and it'll make sense. But I believe it's at the heart of the book of Titus. Now, as we think about Crete, and he's supposed to go to various cities in this island, which is quite a big island. We went over it before in an introduction. But there's various churches obviously established already there. And let's look at the nature of society in Crete. Once again, a key verse, let's look at 12 and 13. It's kind of a funny verse, but Paul is using it for application. He says this, "One of them, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." Now, what this is just a good description of a carnal Christian, really, and our human nature. They're no different than us. He was just taking what they tended to do, maybe there. You could say every society, mankind is naturally born a certain way. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, oh wait, I might have misquoted that. I think that's right. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned." In Romans chapter 8, 5 through 8 says this, he's talking very specifically to believers, "For those who live according to their flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." This is all Paul is saying, I believe. He's saying the natural man can't serve God, can't be an elder in the case of what we're saying here. The natural man can't serve in that position. And I think this is close to the problem in many churches, including ours, from time to time. And we need to pay careful attention of what I'm going to say here, which I believe is Paul is saying too. And take careful attention to be encouraged as we go through these. But the key verse here is verse 5. "That you should set in order." Why? Because there was a lack of order in the church. Now, 1 Corinthians again, chapter 14, and I want to put these two together. Hopefully this will make sense again. This is love and order. It says set in order. Well, in 1 Corinthians, and Paul's giving instructions to the church on the various gifts and administrations. He says at the end of chapter 14, just this simple verse, "Let all be done in order." Let, allow. It's amazing how many lets and allow are in the Bible, if you think about it. Jesus said, "Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding." Allow is a word. We have to give up our own old dependence upon our natural man and allow God to have his way in our lives. Let all be done in order in the church in Crete, in the church at Pointy Valley Fellowship, at the church around America, church in Iran, which is exploding right now. We talked about before in some of these places around the world where they don't even have Bibles. You know, people are having dreams about the Lord Jesus. These have been confirmed by many witnesses, not just a few times, and they come to know the Lord, turn away from Islam. But set in order. Let all be done in order, as it says in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, then a couple chapters later, Paul says, let all, there it is again, let. It's the same two words he uses. Let all be done in love. Look down here. You can't talk about what Paul what is alluding to Titus, I believe, unless we look briefly at verse 8. And a lot of these things, there's a list of things that are made. We're not going to go through the whole list, but I do want to look at one word here in verse 8 that we just let. He says, hospitable, lover what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-control. Self-control. Now, don't think that you're a peculiar case of a sinner. Oh, you got a special case where you need some special kind of thing, that because nobody's ever gone through what you've gone through before. Well, that's human nature. There's no bottom. That's just one thing it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. Talks about oftentimes is used in that. Oh, they just need to reach bottom. Where's the bottom to human nature? Can somebody tell me that?
Who knows?
From a scriptural perspective,
who knows?
There is no bottom to the depths of evil of human nature and what it's capable of. Just forget about it. You can't corral it. It's impossible. This is what the testimony is of the Word of God. But we can talk about self-control. These brothers and sisters it's just alluding to in what he said, there's a lack of self-control. Now, you can have all the money in the world and lack self-control. Well, you can be a believer. Maybe you're one of those 34 or 31 people. I bet you of those 31 or 34 people that are at least now caught up in this gambling scandal, if you heard anything about it, one of them makes $24 million a year right now. But for the thrill of gambling, he's risked it all and now he's caught. No bottom to human nature. No bottom to a lack of self-control in our lives if we don't depend. God, I think this is what God will do to us. God will let us get out of control. I'll say that. He'll allow that until we call out to him and realize how much we need him to have any real sense of self-control in our lives. Now, self-control, I'm going to read it again. I'm sure you good Bible students know it. What is self-control in the New Testament, in the New Covenant? What is it? Maybe you don't know so readily. What is it?
It's a fruit of the Spirit.
It doesn't come naturally. It comes by abiding in Christ and depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. He ends it. I like how it's ended. Self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, listen, there are no special cases. I mean this about human nature. Look, if God can tame a demoniac and give him self-control, he can do it for every one of his dear children. We should never believe that God can't tame that's not the right word. Tame our, can't give us a dependence upon him to overcome what is in us by natural dispensation, so to speak. And that's the power of God's love. The power of God's love that brings order into the house of God. And you can't speak of the love of God, and I appreciate what Phil said today, without speaking of the cross of Jesus. 1 John 4:10 says this, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, I was thinking about this word, about how much we need God's mercy. We've got God's grace, but we need God's mercy. Now there's a, I used to surf. Now I can barely, I can still surf at 70, barely. I can get up on my surfboard, not with the ease I once could. But so now it's more like a 50-50 proposition. But it's fun, like with my grandkids. But there's an old surf film. It's not that old now, actually. It was around 2000, maybe 2002. I suggest, if you've never seen a surf film, this is one surf film you should see. It's worth seeing. It's called Step Into Liquid. Very unusual film. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or somewhere you could rent it, Netflix. But it's well worth it. And it talks about the whole culture and where surfing's evolved to. But you know, we get to step into liquid, into the blood of Christ, into the cross of Jesus. We can go to him daily. Isn't that a wonderful thing for his mercy? I find as a believer, I need a lot of mercy. I don't know about you, but I need it every day. And nothing wrong with us acknowledging that we can't walk the Christian life, as Ed Miller says, only he can walk the Christian life in us with a lot of mercy on our behalf, a lot of calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. So now let's get in. That's a little bit of an intro, so to speak, pretty much on what we're going to talk about the rest of the time. Lord willing, this could finish early, I'm not sure. But I want us to look here at what he's saying. Appoint elders in every city as I commanded you, down to verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Okay. So, elder and bishop, from what I've read, that means commentaries, guys, but from what I've read, these words are pretty much interchangeable in this use. And what do they mean in the Greek? Well, elder is presbyterios, which means mature, a mature one spiritually. The other word, bishop, is episkopos, which is an overseer in the church. So you can see where people say these are interchangeable. And here's what I think. I believe, and many others do as well, that there already were functioning elders in these churches in Crete. Now let that sink in. It wasn't just him appointing elders. There was already functioning elders in the natural order in the church. But I don't believe that was the problem. The problem was there were some that were acting as elders who were not elders. So Titus had a tall task because, you know, this is the church, this is the new covenant. Everyone could be an elder, but that wasn't working out. And I believe there's a lot of chaos and a lot of problems that came in. Let me put it a different way. Out of control saints assuming positions of authority in the church. Think that's a problem today? It's a problem practically in every church. Let me give you also a practical lesson. I mean, when you think of the Cretans, you think of Americans, and you think this is not possible to happen. A person who cusses all week at home and at work, but assumes a position of leadership at church. You say that's extreme? I bet you every one of us here has heard of that going on in a church that we know of. It doesn't happen here. But what does it do? It hurts the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God. That's what it hurts. That's what Paul, what our brother John said he was on the island of Patmos for, right? For the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God. Someone assuming a position of authority without being given that authority. That which I believe is the heart of the problem with out of control society infects. It infects us. It comes, it just comes in naturally, everyone. We know this. And this is what was permeating in the church too. There's a lot of out of control thing. It wasn't supposed to be that way. Now, I believe in context of what is being written here about elders being appointed, bishops being appointed, which I think is the same thing, that Jesus alluded this in a parable, this exact same thing, talking about church life. Now, see if you agree with me on this after we read this. But let's go to Luke chapter 14. Turn there. Verses 7 through 11. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who has invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now let me say right away, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus is an invited guest in the house of God. First of all, let's establish that. But carefully look at this. Who is saying, "Friend, go up higher"? The Lord Jesus is saying, "Friend, go up higher." So this is Jesus giving, I believe, giving more authority to the humble saint who waits upon him in the house of God. Now, why do I say that? Because look what it says. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. There's an acknowledgement in the house of God by those that have authority that comes from God, which everyone can see somehow. Don't ask me how. I mean, we know that Timothy was one of those, right? When Paul showed up, what did people do? Timothy didn't need to promote himself, did he? Who did the promoting? Everyone that knew Timothy. He didn't go about seeking the position. So this is the real way, I believe, and you ask me, this is the real way, I believe, that it happens in every church, or supposed to happen is what I should say. We're not supposed to just appoint our friends and family to positions of authority. Guess what happens sometimes? A lot of times you have a very gifted speaker. I could name names right now. I won't do it because I benefited a lot from some of these ministries. But I could name names where the head pastor had a wonderful ministry for maybe even 30 or 40 years. And then what happened? Pass it off to his son. Pass it off to his son-in-law. And it falls flat. And the whole thing kind of implodes. No, God does the appointing. God is the one that anoints us all in the church. Well, look, we all have been gifted. Not everyone's an elder, as we're alluding to today in the ministry. But let's look at verse 6 now. And I'm going to jump around a little bit in this section because we're talking about elders. Qualifications of elders. We're talking about lack of self-control. We're talking about how self-control comes by depending upon the Lord. But we're going to talk about something right here. If a man is blameless, What does that mean? Doesn't mean perfect. It means blameless. One that walks with the Lord, follows Jesus. Doesn't have a completely double life. I'm just going to put it that way. Paul didn't even put it that way, but doesn't have one way they live away from people and another way they live amongst God's people. It's one life. The husband of one wife. He says, now, to me, that says to be an elder in the church, you have to be a man. Sorry. That's how I read it. It's the word of God. God has put us here for a reason. But it's not just a woman. It's, listen, love is important. But agape love is more important, because agape love is correcting as well. And it's subject to the word of God. There's many churches where they do what? They will appoint elders to have all kinds of alternate lifestyles. They say, because of what? Because of love. We're all inclusive. But if it's anything is outside of the authority of the word of God, it's got to be rejected. We can't accept that. Put another thing, you know what's really becoming popular, used to be popular in the 1930s? Child preachers. It's becoming popular again. If you go onto YouTube and you put in child preachers, you'll see things come up with a gazillion views on them of some 8 or 10 year old kid preaching the gospel. But not only that, they're being given authority in certain churches. 8 and 10 year olds, if you can believe it. Well, he's kind of disqualified because he can't be the husband of one wife, the way I look at it. Not old enough yet. But this idea of being a, I'm going to put some practical shoe leather to it, sort of speak, of there being people that act like elders who aren't elders in the church, and how it's affected us. See, there's been those that have gone, and I think it applies to what we're speaking about today. There's been those that have gone out from us and have spoken on the behalf of the church that didn't have the authority to speak on behalf of the church. Do you believe that? We can say, for those that have been the brothers meeting, what have we had to tell the fellowships, other fellowships or other people? They're not speaking on the behalf of our church. Have we ever had to say that? We have, quite a few times actually, more than I'd like to admit. And we've actually even had to say to some people, stop interjecting yourselves into the matter of the church you are not commissioned to do. No, and that's appointing elders. Let me give you an idea. In the brothers' meeting, if we have a sensitive issue that's going on, which there's always something, what happens? Do we just say, everyone go talk to that this situation at once? What do? We appoint a single person, usually, or two or three at the most, to go see and seek out a matter. That's an appointing in a certain sense, an authority. And guess what we're doing? When we're saying brother so-and-so, and sometimes the sisters we appoint to go do the same thing. What we're saying is, in reality, we know your character, it's proven, and we trust you to take care and give us a report back that, well, we trust the person we send out. In a sense, that's an appointment. That's appointing elders in the church, so to speak. Well, about now you're probably asking, why don't we appoint elders in the church? Come on, haven't you thought of that ever? Most places they do that believe in that. Well, you know what? I believe, based on what we read there, that we just read out of Luke, that it's the Lord that says, friend, go up higher. It's the Lord that anoints people for service in the church, and we trust the Lord enough to realize that. Now, that sticky part comes in where we have to kind of, and I think this is kind of, I could be wrong, but I think this is kind of what Titus had to do. It's harder to just ask somebody to take the lower seat in the table, but it has to be done sometimes, than to ask somebody to be an elder, so to speak. I think it happens naturally, where the Lord says, friend, go up higher. And then everyone sees it. And then you have glory in the presence of those at the table with you. You have glory. It's in the church. Everyone sees it. Everyone understands the authority God has given in the church. So I'd like to finish with this verse. I'm not going to go too much longer. I'm just going to finish early today. With verse 9, because I think it's so important in context to everything that we're talking about. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And we're going to go into those who contradict next time, but basically everything in context of the Word of God. Nothing outside the context of the Word of God. Now you want authority in the church? Everybody wants it be promoted. Let's just not be weird. Doesn't everybody want to be promoted by the Lord Jesus? I mean, everyone wants the Lord to say, come up to a higher place, so to speak. Everyone wants more of his authority. I hope we do. Something is wrong with us if we don't want more of his authority in our lives. More of his clarity, more of his order, more of his self-control, more of his love, more of his peace. We want him, and more of Jesus. We want him promoting us. We don't want ourselves. We're sick of ourselves, I hope. But there's no counseling, there's no fellowship outside the Word of God where we have some weird kumbaya psychology that will fit every single problem of life. No, there's no, in fact, let me put it this way, there's no Christian counseling outside of the Word of God. Amen. If it doesn't come from a biblical perspective, throw it out and burn it. It's worthless, completely worthless. It has to be from a biblical foundation. It has to be according to the Word of God. That's letting all be done in order. That's letting all be done in love. And that's letting God take us up to a higher place, as that song said. And there's so much gold to be found in the house of God. So much gold. Now, I don't know if you heard, it just broke this morning. I'm going to try to use current events. But off the Sea of Galilee, it was just reported, I think today for the first time, this morning I saw a news flash on it. About a mile up on a hill above the Sea of Galilee, they found a stash of nearly, they call it, new. That's why they're shocked. New gold coins that were minted 1,600 years ago that are in perfect condition.
Wow.
Hidden away for 1,600 years. But they found something else in this archaeological dig just almost 2 months ago to the day, I read. And this is what they found. They found what they believe is the remains of the first senior home. And it's a Christian, they're saying it's a Christian senior home, a rest home that they have for seniors. And it, they found in perfect condition, I guess above this, or a tile, and it said, "Peace to the elders."
Wow.
Pretty amazing. So what I'm saying is, there's a, for the elders, and the Lord knows who they are, is what we're saying in context of today's message. They need a lot of prayer to handle sensitive subject, peace to the elders. But the thing is, I pray that we get encouragement from this word. Because God intends to move every saint higher in the house of God. We don't move ourselves higher, is all the Lord was saying. But always in God's timing and in God's order. Very important. And that's what was wrong in Crete. It was out of God's timing. It was out of God's order that people were assuming positions of authority and creating a problem. This can actually lead to splits in the church. I think that Paul was saying, Titus, you got to get down there and stop the chaos and put some order in this by God's help. And we have to, you know what? This is church life. We need to pray, fellowship, depend upon the Lord to be able to get through these things, because these kinds of problems come up in every fellowship. And I'd like to read once again from now 2 Peter, just in closing. Let it be kind of like a little bit of a benediction, thinking of who the person Peter was in his past life.
2 Peter.
This one I believe is 2 Peter 1, 2 through 8. Let's read this in closing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and I just do want to stop there, because he's given to us a different nature,
right,
that we can walk by, that's greater than the carnal man, of course. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's why I'm saying our life is hidden within the pages of the book. Here's another one right here. This is what he's saying. We've been given these precious, great and precious promises that are for us in the new creation. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.